Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're tackling a question that seems to capture everyone's imagination. Just how far back can we realistically trace our family history?
Yeah, it's a big one.
We know so many of you are curious about uncovering those, you know, amazing connections, maybe finding a link to someone famous, or just getting a sense of really ancient roots.
Absolutely. That's the dream for many, isn't it?
So we've done our homework. We've looked through articles covering, well, the limits of online searching, how far paper documents can really take you, and what DNA actually tells us.
We want to give you a good overview, realistic, but also highlighting some of those really surprising bits you might find along the way.
Exactly. Our mission today, to really unpack how deep you can actually dig into your family's past.
Okay, so let's start with something familiar. Online research. It feels like everything should be online now, right?
You'd think so. It feels like it should be.
But, as our sources pointed out, that's not quite the full story. Let's take an example. Say you're searching for your grandfather's marriage record. Apache County, Arizona, maybe around 1920.
Okay.
Your first instinct is probably, you know, head to a big site. Ancestry.com, maybe?
Yeah.
Expecting it to pop right up.
Yeah, absolutely. You'd go in, use the filters, USA, Arizona, Apache County. Look for marriages. Seems logical.
But then you might hit a snag. At first glance, it could look like Ancestry just doesn't have specific marriage records for Apache County.
Like a dead end right away. Frustrating.
Exactly. But here's where it gets interesting. Kind of a fascinating twist.
Yeah.
That record, it is actually on Ancestry.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but it's sort of hidden within a much broader collection. This one was called Arizona, U.S. County Marriage Records, 1865-1972.
Ah, so not specifically labeled Apache County marriages.
Precisely. So unless you searched really broadly or maybe got a lucky hint from the system, you could totally miss it.
That makes sense. It's easy to assume the labels are perfect.
And there's another layer here. Even if you find something like an affidavit for the issuance of a marriage license, well, that's not the actual marriage record itself.
Right. That's just the application.
Exactly. And in this case, Ancestry didn't actually have the record itself, just the affidavit. It really shows that online records, while amazing, aren't always indexed how we might expect.
You really do have to put on your detective hat sometimes. Think outside the obvious search box.
Which leads to a really crucial point.
Yeah.
Don't just rely on one website. Because going back to that Arizona example, if you then hopped over to FamilySearch.org.
Let me guess, they had it.
They did. The actual Apache County marriage record was right there. It just hammers home the need to check multiple places online.
Okay, so online isn't always complete, even for places like Arizona. What about places where records are known to be, well, much harder to access digitally?
Right, sometimes the online trail just stops. Cuba is a really good example here.
Yeah.
You might find a few things on FamilySearch, maybe, but Ancestry or MyHeritage, their catalogs might show basically nothing.
So what do you do then?
For serious Cuban research, you often need to go directly to the source, the Cuban National Archives.
And I imagine that's not just a quick weekend trip.
No, definitely not. According to the archives themselves, if you're a foreign researcher, you need a formal letter from a sponsoring institution in Cuba, plus a special research visa.
Wow, okay, that's a whole different ballgame compared to clicking around online.
It really is. It makes you appreciate how easy we have it for accessing records in many other parts of the world.
But is there any sort of workaround? For Cuban records, I mean.
Well, interestingly, yes. One source mentioned a practical and maybe slightly unusual tip. There are actually significant collections of Cuban records held by societies and organizations right here in Florida.
Really? That's fascinating. So you might not have to navigate the whole visa process.
Potentially, yes. It offers an alternative path. So the big takeaway from all this online talk is, it's incredibly powerful, yes, but it's not the be-all and end-all. You often need to look beyond the big names, check multiple sites, and sometimes, yeah, even step away from the computer entirely.
Okay, so we've established the internet has limits. Let's pivot to the classic method, the paper trail. How far back can that realistically take most people?
Well, let's start with somewhere relatively straightforward, like the UK. If you have British ancestry, tracing back to when public records started around 1837 is often, surprisingly, not too bad.
Because of census records and birth, marriage, death certificates.
Exactly. Those are generally available online now, usually for a small fee. So that period, back to the early mid-1800s, is often quite accessible.
But the challenges start when you try to push further back, right? Into the 1700s or earlier?
That's when you hit the era of parish records. And this is where, like you said before, the real genealogical detective work often begins.
Because these records aren't all neatly digitized and indexed in one place?
Not always. These records, baptisms, marriages, burials, they might be housed in local record offices. Sometimes they're still physically in the parish churches. Finding the right ones can take some serious digging.
And I assume the older the records, the patchier they get.
Absolutely. Once you start pushing back into the 16th, even the 15th centuries, well, a lot of registers are just missing.
You know why? Just age or specific events.
Both. Simple decay over centuries, maybe fires, floods. Events like the English Civil War definitely caused disruption and loss of records. Neglect played a part, too. And the bottom line is, if the record isn't there,
the trail goes cold, abruptly.
It really does. It's kind of sobering, actually, how many family stories are just lost because the paper didn't survive.
And we should probably remember what these parish records actually captured, right? It wasn't everything.
Good point. They primarily focused on baptisms, church marriages, and burials. But, you know, not every couple got married in the church, so you could have gaps there.
What else could stop the paper trail?
Migration is a big one. If someone moved to a different parish or died somewhere else and you don't know where they went, finding that next record can be incredibly difficult, sometimes impossible.
So for the average person, trying to trace a line back through paper beyond, say, medieval times, it becomes really tough.
Yeah, one source described it as almost impossible for the average person. The records just become too sparse, too incomplete.
Which is quite a contrast to, say, the aristocracy. You hear about families tracing lines back centuries and centuries.
Right. It's often possible for them to go back to the Norman Conquest, 1066, and sometimes even further.
Why the difference? Just better record keeping.
Partly, yes. But also why the records were kept. For nobility, marriages were often major events like commercial transactions or political alliances. They were documented meticulously for legal and inheritance reasons.
Ah, so the records served a different purpose.
Exactly. And you also have things like heraldry coats of arms and documented lineages, which provide another way to trace those specific families. It really highlights that historical record keeping wasn't uniform. It was often tied to status and power.
Okay, so paper trails eventually hit a wall for most of us. This brings us to a totally different way of looking into the past. DNA.
Right. DNA testing offers another angle, but it works very differently from following documents. Think of your DNA like a massive library passed down through generations. DNA tests read specific markers or chapters in that library.
And how does it tell us about ancestry?
Well, these ancestry tests analyze those genetic markers that have been passed down, sometimes for millennia. They compare your unique DNA pattern to huge global databases built from populations all over the world.
To figure out ethnic origins and where ancestors might have lived?
Exactly. It identifies similarities and pinpoints likely geographical regions.
So the big question again, how far back can DNA actually take us? Does it vary?
It definitely varies depending on the type of test. The standard tests, most people take autosomal DNA tests from companies like Ancestry DNA or 23andMe. They generally give you a good view of your ancestry over the last, say, 5 to 7 generations.
So that's roughly, what, 150, 175 years? Still within the realm of more recent paper records, often?
Pretty much, yeah.
Right.
But the technology is always advancing. Some companies now offer what they call advanced autosomal testing.
Like CRI genetics, which was mentioned.
Right. They use AI, complex algorithms, and they claim this can potentially push the timeline back much further, maybe 50 generations or more. Up to around 1,000 years. They even create a kind of DNA timeline.
Wow, that's significantly further than the standard tests. Quite different from, say, 23andMe's timeline, which is generally shorter.
Yeah, there's definitely variation in how far back different companies estimate or focus their analysis.
Okay, that's autosomal. What about the other types, like mitochondrial DNA?
Ah, mtDNA. That's fascinating because it traces your direct maternal line, so your mother, her mother, her mother's mother, and so on straight back.
And that goes back further?
Potentially, yes. Because mtDNA is passed down from mother to child, relatively unchanged, it mutates much, much more slowly than autosomal DNA.
So how far back are we talking?
Well, one source suggested it could trace that specific maternal line back maybe up to 30 generations, which is getting close to 1,000 years.
Okay, that's impressive.
But wait, it gets even wilder. By looking at really ancient markers within mtDNA called haplogroups, scientists can trace these maternal lines back. Well, incredibly far. Another source even mentioned up to 100,000 years.
100,000 years. Seriously.
Seriously. It connects you to those really deep human migratory paths out of Africa and across the globe. It's mind-boggling, really.
So combining different types of DNA tests could potentially paint a picture stretching back maybe a millennium, covering hundreds of generations.
Potentially, yes, in terms of broad ancestral origins and specific maternal or paternal lines.
That brings up those ethnicity percentages people get. What's the right way to think about those? If it says, you know, 10% Scandinavian, does that mean a recent immigrant?
Usually not, no. That's a really important point. Those percentages typically reflect the DNA you inherited from all your ancestors who were living within a pretty broad historical window, maybe 500 to 1,000 years ago.
Ah, so it's more like a deep historical echo, not necessarily recent family history.
Exactly. It's a genetic snapshot of your deeper past. One source beautifully called it revealing connections to archaic human odysseys. It's less about your great-great-grandma from Norway and more about populations living in Scandinavia centuries ago.
Okay, that makes more sense. What about things like lineage societies, like the Mayflower Society or tracing back to Magna Carta barons? Can DNA help there?
Well, those societies rely primarily on meticulous paper trails to establish lineage. You need the documents to prove your connection generation by generation.
Right.
DNA can sometimes support a potential connection to very distant figures, maybe someone like Charlemagne or even Genghis Khan, as mentioned in the sources. But for figures that ancient who had many, many descendants, the genetic link is often incredibly diluted and widespread across huge populations today. So finding you share a tiny DNA segment, potentially linked to Charlemagne, doesn't pinpoint him as your specific ancestor in a meaningful genealogical way. Millions might share it.
Got it. So it's interesting, but not proof of direct lineage in the way paper records can be.
Precisely. And for finding actual living relatives, cousins, through DNA matching, that typically uses autosomal DNA and is most effective, again, within that range of about 6 to 8 generations.
Which brings us back to the time frame where paper records often overlap.
Exactly. So the key thing with DNA is it gives you this amazing deep view into ancient origins, ethnicity estimates over centuries, and those direct maternal or paternal lines going way back. But it doesn't usually replace the need for paper records to identify specific recent ancestors, and interpreting the results needs that historical context.
So wrapping this all up then, it sounds like tracing your family history is this incredible mix, isn't it? Huge possibilities, but also some very real brick walls.
Definitely. Whether you're navigating online databases, sifting through old documents, or exploring your DNA, there's always that element of detective work involved.
And it's often about the journey, the surprising discoveries you make along the way, even if you can't trace every single line back thousands of years with names and dates.
Absolutely. Those unexpected finds, the stories you uncover about more recent generations, that's often where the real magic lies.
So maybe a final thought for everyone listening. Even if that unbroken line back to antiquity isn't quite achievable, what stories are still waiting for you? What might be hidden in a local archive just down the road, or perhaps in digging a bit deeper into what your DNA results really mean?
Yeah, don't underestimate the richness that's probably closer than you think. Every family tree is this unique, complex mosaic.
Absolutely. Go explore that mosaic. Thanks for diving deep with us today.